You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Wednesday's racing podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined to take a look at Wednesday's cards with Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Jack. Very well.
Good, good. So we have a couple of races to look at from Perth, but we wanted to touch upon this two-day meeting at Perth, which is ending their national hunt season, strangely.
Yeah, just as big guns are starting to roll out some of the better horses and the national hunt season gets going proper, Perth comes to the end of their season, Jack. Obviously, they don't race in the winter months. It can get very wet up at Perth, but, you know, it's an exciting two-day meeting, this. And, of course, on the final day, on the Thursday, it looks like national hunt fans are going to be treated to an absolute cracker of a novice hurdle, because we've got a 2014 Cheltenham champion bumper winner racing against the 2015 Cheltenham champion bumper winner, and both horses making their hurdling debuts. Moonracer, of course, of David Pipes, and Ballyandy of Twiston Davis. And Nigel Twiston Davis, you know, he will have several horses at this two-day meeting. He tends to send some of his better horses to have their season pipe openers, if you like, at this meeting. So yeah, it looks like it'll be a really two days action up at Perth.
Yeah, maybe it's the lack of what feels like a proper summer, but it does feel a bit too early for a clash like that. Not that we're complaining, of course.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, there's no doubt there'll be quotes flying around for Supreme Novices Hurdle, etc. if they're not already. You would imagine, you know, when you've got two good horses like that, I mean, Moonracer's now seven. That is the one thing against him. You know, he doesn't really have time on his side with the injuries he's had. With Ballyandy's five, you would imagine both horses aren't going to go to Perth fully wound up and hard fit for the first start of the season. You know, there'll be plenty of condition on both horses and there'll be a lot to work on. And, you know, what you want to see from them is, you know, they take the hurdling well and a good clean round of jumping and a decent little race to finish off with.
Yeah, definitely something to look forward to. Moonracer and Ballyandy going head-to-head on Thursday in the second of the two-day meeting at Perth. Well, just while we're on courses and flats and jumps, the jumps have already had this treatment, but the Racing Post report today that all flat courses will be remeasured in the near future. That was after, of course, there were a couple of errors spotted when Newcastle converted to an all-weather course.
Yeah, it can only be a good thing. The more professional the sport is, the better it can become. It's got to be seen as a positive, Jack. It's, you know, the biggest surprise is why has it taken up to now to achieve this? You know, they've been racing over these advertised distances for years and, you know, it could have been done before. Now it'll be interesting to see if there's any big discrepancies when the results come out. Of course, the big change in the national hunt game was obviously the minimum distance being 2 miles, and there was a lot of courses reverted back to 1 mile and 7 furlongs, which was unheard of. So it will be a step in the right direction, certainly, to have the exact measurements for races taking place.
Yeah, and we'll expect those results. They'll be a while off yet, but we look forward to the findings. And the other stories that made the Racing Post, well, we have the Order of St. George is more than likely to go from the Arc, but we've been hearing this for a while now, haven't we?
Yeah. Obviously disappointing when last seen, but I don't think the step back and trip certainly would inconvenience a horse. Just going to be a very, very tough race. And, you know, obviously with the Arc being run at Shanty this year, it's, again, totally different. So, yeah, it'll be good. You want the best horses, the best middle distance horses lining up, and it'll be good to see Order of St. George take his place in the lineup come the first Sunday in October.
Indeed, not far away now at all. And finally, we'll look more closely at the weekend's racing in the Thursday and Friday racing podcasts, but Cambridgeshire, and the trainer says that Lady Aurelia is bound to run her best race ever. That's confidence for you.
Yeah, very bold statement there, Jack. Obviously, exciting two-year-old. It's shaping up to be a very good race this year. You know, it's going to be no pushover for sure. I look forward to seeing her come the weekend again.
Mm, well, we'll look forward to that closer to the time. But let's have a look at Wednesday's action. There's action from Redcar and Perth, and we'll get onto the Scottish venue shortly. But first, we'll go to Goodwood for the 3:45 race. What have you made of this one?
Yeah, the two horses that look, or three rather, if we include Sky Hunter in that, is Mount Logan, last time up winner at Doncaster. Disappointed at Ascot and Goodwood at the big summer festivals, but the Roger Varian Yard wasn't really firing on all cylinders. This horse bounced back and was an easy winner at Doncaster last time. Definitely one for the shortlist. Sky Hunter, you know, would been off a while, reappeared at Kempton at the beginning of September. I thought it was a reasonable performance, finishing third to Arab Spring. You know, looked like there was definitely room for improvement to come with that run under his belt. The one I much prefer here, Jack, is the three-year-old getting the allowances at the bottom, the filly trained by Luca Chiamani. Very dashing. Horse that, you know, won her maiden in fine style Nottingham in July. Took a big step up in class on just a fourth career start at Salisbury. Travelled really well in that Salisbury race, but eventually tired and finished fourth. There was a huge amount to take from the performance. You know, I think the fact that connections are coming here in search of black type, and hopefully, you know, they see the filly win, because, you know, they're prepared to blow what looks a really lenient handicap mark of 94. So I would expect Very Dashing to take all the beating. The track should suit. Like I said, she's a very strong traveller, and getting all the allowances, she could be the one to be with in the 3:45.
OK, so that's the selection in the 3:45. 35 minutes later, it's the 4:20 at Goodwood. This is over the mile and 6 furlongs, and there's only 6 runners here, but it still looks fairly competitive.
Yeah, the Classic Generation, I think, is definitely the ones to concentrate on again. I think the top two in the weights are up against it, against some more unexposed three-year-olds. Engage ran at this track last time over a mile forward. This step up a couple of furlongs, this filly, which should help, but I didn't think she was entirely in love with the track last time. You know, she travelled well, and I didn't think she was all that well balanced in the closing stages. So a little bit surprised that, you know, she comes back to Goodwood. Again, we're going to go for the bottom weight, Willie Haggis's filly, Daphne, a horse that will relish softer conditions. You know, the one victory so far in her career came on top of the ground at Newmark, actually. But you just watch the way this horse moves, particularly at Doncaster last time. She displays quite an e-action. And although she got a relatively easy lead in that Doncaster contest, you know, she fought on well and only went down by 3/4 of a length in the end. The front two were nicely clear. This track will suit, like I said. Any further rain would also be a plus for me in terms of her chances, and off a lowly weight, 8 stone 9, Daphne would be the pick in the 4:20.
Okay, Daphne in the selection then in the 4:20 at Goodwood. Let's move on to Perth for the first of their two-day festival. The 4:05 is the first race we're going to look at. It's a handicap chase. It's over the 2 miles and 7 furlongs. 8 runners in here, and we talked about Nigel Twiston Davis earlier. No surprise to see he's got one in here. And then some of the usual faces as well at this venue. Gordon Elliott and Lisa Harrison also have horses in this race. What do we make of it?
Yeah, and of course we've got two horses that contested this race 12 months ago, including the winner by the Boardwalk. And I think probably the biggest surprise is that we've only seen by the Boardwalk on 5 occasions since then. Been very lightly raced. And, you know, he came here last year after a similar absence as he does this time around. He's been off for 139 days. He lost his way when last seen in the spring. He's obviously a horse that clearly goes well fresh after a small break from the track. So huge positives. He's £3 higher than his success in the race 12 months ago. So I think he's sure to go well. Hard to see presented, you know, getting any closer than he did in the race last year. He was well beaten on that occasion. He's probably one that, you know, was going to find this a little bit tough. Tangolan, I think he's going to face competition for the lead. You know, I always thought that this horse, you know, is best when he's allowed to bowl along at the head of affairs. He can make mistakes, and for a small horse, it can knock the stuffing out of Tangolan. So, again, I wouldn't be too keen on his chances. The biggest danger to By the Boardwalk could well be the mare, Kilronan High. I do think she's a better horse going right-handed. Her last victory did come at Southwell on soft ground, but prior to that, her three previous wins were all going right-handed. Relatively well handicapped on a mark of 125, and of course you know from the Nigel Twiston Davis Yard, you know, this mare is likely to be, you know, well forward and ready for this challenge at Perth. So Kilronan High could well be the biggest danger to buy the Boardwalk, who tries to repeat his winning the race from 12 months ago.
Okay, that's the 405. Then we move on to the final race that we're going to look at. It's a handicap hurdle. It's the 440 again at Perth. And the same distance as well, 2 miles and 7 furlongs in this one. Nigel Twiston Davis posed the danger perhaps in the 405. He's got another runner in this one, Goodbye Dancer. But there's 10 to choose from here. Where are we looking?
Yeah, tricky race. Again, Goodbye Dancer may just be in, you know, in the grip of the handicapper on a mark of 133. Nigel Twiston Davis also has a horse further down the way. It's in the 9-year-old Frontier Vicar horse that was successful when last seen at Force Lass in June. Prior to that, had won here, beaten a horse that has won three times since in Wyfield Rose. You know, still not badly treated as Frontier Vic on a mark of 113. I'm going to take a little bit of a chance with one in this race, Jack. A horse that hasn't shown a huge amount since moving to this country, but I do think is well handicapped. And on his first start, we're talking about Mango Cap here. On his first start for David Pipe at Carlisle on heavy ground, he finished a decent third to Suit Yourself. That wasn't a bad heat. And that form certainly suggests he's well up to winning races off his mark of 115. Since then, you know, he had three runs at Musselburgh Air, Newton Abbot, albeit in very good company, but he came up well short. But when you look at the horse, he had been running in France. He'd obviously been rushed and got ready for his Carlisle debut run in this country. I think we're 3 months off and, you know, starting out a clean season for the Pipe Yard, I think we could see a different horse. And, of course, he steps up in trip as well. And off a lowly mark, I think he's won the chance. Hopefully there's enough value in his price, but I would want to be with Mango Cap in this.
Okay, Mango Cap then, a selection. David Pipe always knows how to ready a horse for these sorts of races. That's the 440 at Perth and the final race we're going to look at on Wednesday's Racing Podcast. Craig, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Jack.
And good luck with all of your bets on Wednesday. We'll be back on the Racing Podcast for Thursday, so make sure you tune in then. And in the meantime, take a look at williamhill.com for an array of podcasts on many different sports.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.